Welcome back to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. The 10th Annual Zions Bank Trade and Business Conference, held Thursday at Salt Lake City's downtown Marriott, brought a national and international perspective to economic issues. I had the chance to speak with the keynote speaker, former Colombian President Alvaro Uribe. We'll hear from him in a minute, but first I spoke with Rebecca Blank, Undersecretary for Economic Affairs with the U.S. Department of Commerce. I asked her about the progress of President Obama's National Export Initiative, launched with the goal of doubling U.S. exports between 2010 and 2015.
Well, the good news is we're on track. We're where we would want to be, and we're watching the numbers on a monthly basis. U.S. exports have actually grown very strongly over the last year and a half. Now, in part, we're coming out of a very deep recession, as you know, so we would expect rapid export growth. But we're doing well, and we're working hard at the Department of Commerce to make sure that we're delivering the services that help American businesses continue on that track.
Now, Utah has been doing pretty well when it comes to exports. What do you think accounts for the disparities between the states and how well they are doing export-wise?
Yeah, Utah has actually done marvelously. They did double exports over the last 5 years. So in some sense, we at the national level are trying to emulate them. You know, it's always an interesting question. Why do some states grow more rapidly in some periods than others? Utah has certain natural advantages. It has, as everyone who lives here tells me, a wonderful environment as a place to live. You know, people come here and don't want to leave, and that makes it attractive for business location. For international exports, it really sits at the center of, you know, sort of transportation hubs, both rail lines and highways, as well as some major, you know, sort of international flights out of here. The ability to have direct flights to the countries to which you're exporting really matters to get people to go back and forth. So, you know, that's important. It's also important that you just have a good business environment where businesses can grow, where the government works effectively with businesses and doesn't get in the way. And everyone says that the Utah government does a very good job of that.
Which countries are you focused on right now? Which emerging economies really do hold the most promise at this point?
Yeah. So the exports grow most rapidly in countries that are themselves experiencing rapid economic growth. And the countries experiencing the most rapid economic growth right now are several of the emerging economies. China and India are most obviously mentioned. Brazil is often part of that list. You know, the Mexico, many people still consider in that emerging economy area, though it's you know, sort of a question of when do you get so rich that you aren't in that category anymore. So one of the things that we are really trying to focus on is to encourage businesses that aren't exporting to consider exporting, or businesses that export to one market to consider opening up to other markets that are experiencing rapid growth. And I think the opportunities, particularly in some of these emerging economies, are very strong in the years ahead. And we hope that a number of American businesses will see that as a promising way to place some of their resources.
There was a recent op-ed from the Utah Farm Bureau regarding lack of congressional action on free trade agreement and frustration with that and how it's hurting Utah farmers. Do you, in the Obama administration, feel the same frustration?
So, as you know, we are working on a number of free trade agreements. We signed a major agreement with South Korea, which is going to have enormous and wonderful impacts on the U.S. economy if we can get this approved by Congress. On the other hand, I think the administration is very clear that free trade is good, and we are, you know, we're working hard on these initiatives. But you also have to realize that there are occasional losers, and therefore something like trade adjustment assistance is equally important, and that we will not simply pass free trade agreements, that we also need to support those workers who are hurt by some of the trade expansions and need assistance to move into new jobs and develop new skills. So we have linked approval of these free trade agreements to trade adjustment assistance. I think that's very important. You know, Congress has not acted as fast as I think we would like them to, but I am quite hopeful that over the summer that we might approve a number of these agreements.
Which industries are you most concerned about workers being hurt?
Well, the U.S. Competitive advantage is really high skill, high design, high value added production, right? So more skilled workers tend to get very, if anything, they're advantaged by international trade, more jobs, more opportunities. Many of the workers that you might believe have been hurt by some of the movement of businesses overseas have been less skilled workers. So the question is, how do you help less skilled workers develop new skills? Sometimes it means moving to different locations. locations. It's really tough to relocate yourself and your family in the face of a job loss. But things like trade adjustment assistance are designed to help people build skills, to give them some income, to tide them over until they can sort of get on their feet again and find a new job and a new position. At the end of the day, free trade really helps everyone, that our economy grows faster, and as it grows faster, it means we create more jobs here too.
And finally, another topic you addressed at today's conference is U.S. debt holdings by other countries and how that can impact trade. Is there a pretty big concern that significant U.S. debt holdings, particularly in places like China, do give them the advantage when it comes to negotiating trade agreements?
I actually don't think so. It is true that about half of our debt is held overseas, and about a quarter of our debt is held in the emerging economies, Japan, China. They are major holders of U.S. treasuries, in part because they trust the U.S. economy for long-term stability. I don't think that there has been an impact of those debt holdings on negotiations on trade at all. One does worry if you had major political upsets or changes that happen somewhere elsewhere in the globe, that could come back and affect the U.S. if it's happening in an area where a lot of U.S. treasuries are being held and result in a rapid sale of U.S. treasuries. But nobody foresees that happening in the near future.
Undersecretary for Economic Affairs Rebecca Blank, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And now we hear my conversation from the Zions Bank Trade and Business Conference with former Colombian President Alvaro Uribe, who led the country from 2002 to 2010. He spoke with me about a pending free trade agreement with Colombia that's before Congress.
President Uribe, how is the economy in Colombia doing right now?
The economy in Colombia has improved because the country has reduced violence. The determination in my country to overcome historical insecurity, in addition with the permanent good management of the macroeconomy, have created excellent conditions for the economy to move faster. Colombia today has one of the highest investment rates throughout the Latin America and the Caribbean region. And of course, Colombia is working security, investment promotion, and at the same time, what I call social investment, education, health, microlending, etc.
Congress right now is considering a free trade agreement with Colombia. Some people have expressed frustration that it hasn't been approved yet. What's the importance of this agreement to both your country and mine?
There are political and economic advantages of the approval of this agreement. Politically speaking, it is quite difficult to understand why other countries in the region have agreements in place with the United States, and Colombia has not. Colombia has been the closest ally of the United States in the region. And at the same time, the Colombian public opinion is the most friendly regarding the United States in our countries. Economically speaking, from the economic standpoint, for Colombia, this agreement won't bring a huge growth in exports to the United States in the short term. But the approval of this agreement is a clear signal that Colombia is a trustworthy country. Therefore, we could increase our investment rate. And the more the investment, the less difficult for the country to confront narco-trafficking. And for the United States, it is very important to take into consideration that, first, Colombia has the third largest population in the region after Brazil and Mexico. Colombia is an expanding market of 47 million people. Second, the Colombian economy could be in the coming years the second in size in the region. Third, Colombia has the greatest investment rate in the region. Colombia needs infrastructure. Colombia needs machinery. Colombia needs state-of-the-art technology, capital goods, intermediate goods, and the United States has the possibility to continue being the first supplier of these elements to Colombia. And one final point, Colombia has been the second largest market in the region for USA agricultural products. And in the last years, we have seen a decline in the United States exports of these agricultural products to the Colombian market because of the free trade agreements Colombia has signed with other countries. The Argentinian grains are coming to Colombia at much more faster than the United States grains to my country. And we cannot forget that last year, Colombia began to enjoy the ratification of the free trade agreement with Canada. The Canadian Parliament last year did ratify the agreement with Colombia.
What do you want people in Utah to know about the relationship between the United States and Colombia and how important it is?
We share the same values, the rule of law, the idea of security. Security is a democratic value, it's a source of resources. We share the idea of freedoms, freedom in every ideological aspect, free press, free private initiative. It is very important. We consider the private initiative is the engine of prosperity, is the fundamental element for every country to overcome poverty and to create a better social fabric with better income distribution. We share with the United States the idea of independent institutions, the idea of working every day for the improvement in what we can call social cohesion. And we share with the United States the idea of the necessity of pluralistic, free people participation.
President Uribe, thank you very much for your time.
No, thank you. And it has been a great honor, a great pleasure to have the opportunity to know this excellent community of Salt Lake City here in Utah.
That's former Colombian President Álvaro Uribe, who was the keynote speaker at the 10th Annual Zions Bank Trade and Business Conference held Thursday in Salt Lake City. This is Politics Up Close on NPR Utah, KCBW.